I'll tell you all this. Excuse me. I was in Cypress Bible Church last weekend for their missions conference. And Billy and Shelley are here tonight from that church. But anyway, as Mark and I walked in along the hallway into the building where they were meeting, all the missionaries were having a kind of an expo there. Everybody had a booth. And everybody came up to me, the ones I knew, and, "Oh, Nellie, you look so good. You're just such a blessing. Did your children let you drive all the way over here?" And I said, "Well, sure, you know, and whatever." And so when I went and got in, and they had made me a little booth with my name on it and had a book there and everything, and I opened the page to my page, and they said, "Nelda just completed her 92nd birthday." She was born in January 10th, 1917. I was so shocked because I've had a lot of relations with that church for many years. We had their young people for about 22 years, you know. So anyway, I was surprised, but I just laughed with them, you know. They were very embarrassed, and they apologized. But it was just a fun thing. I enjoyed all that. That was fun. It is a blessing always to be here. Again, I always tell the brothers every year, what am I going to say that I haven't said already, you know? And they assure me that there's always people that are new that have not heard my testimony or have not heard some things I'll talk about. So I'll tell you, starting out, I was saved when I was 9 years old, and I was a member of a church on Seminary Hill, Lindell, in Fort Worth, Texas. And I'll have to say that in those days, in 1940, most of the professors belonged there to that church. And they were good men. Amen. They preached the word, they taught the word in its entirety, in truth, and I was very blessed to have some of those as my teachers. And so when they read John 3:16 to me, I just, "Hey, I'm one of those. He died for me. I know he did." So I trusted Jesus as my Savior that very day. And I was very blessed in that church. I had a wonderful Sunday school class. I had wonderful friends there, and it was just a blessing. Later, as my folks moved around, we moved to Corpus Christi, and there at 15 years of age, I felt God tugging on my heart. I wanted to be a missionary. I had heard missionary stories all my life, and I thought, you know what? That's what I want to do. That's where God wants me to be. And this was before Dale West. I didn't know him then. But I just was certain that one day I was going to go to the mission field. And then Dale came along and was in our church. He was in college there, and we hit off. He wanted to be a missionary too. And we married, and our plan was to go to China. But China closed the very last of the year that we married. So we knew that was out. So after he graduated from Baylor, we got him through school, and he got his degree, and I got mine, PhD, which is pushing hubby through. And, we made it, and began our family, and he began pastoring churches, and we would just wait on the Lord. We just waited. And he pastored in California, New Mexico, and Texas. And along the way, we began to have our family. Dale, when he was a little boy, he said, "I'm going to have 12 children. Mm-hmm. We surrendered a date. I said, "You've got to adopt the rest." But we had a wonderful family. And finally, when he was pastoring in Dallas, and we had 4 children, and I was expecting my 5th child. He said, "You know what, honey, we're not getting any younger, and I haven't been able to go to the seminary. A lot of mission boards ask for a lot of education for the man as well as the wife." And he called us, so why don't we just go? So I said, okay. So we packed up our station wagon and our little trailer and our children and took off. We went to Mexico. We started in Mexico, but had a very bad map. It wasn't a new map, and we didn't know about the road from Laredo to Saltillo. So guess what we did? We forded 3 rivers going through Brownsville and all those little towns, you know. And every time I'd see a a Mexican at night with a bandana across his nose, I'd say, there's one of those bandits that I was always told that they would be. But, of course, they were keeping cold out of there. They didn't like to breathe. I didn't know that, but I was scared because I didn't know what that was true. They were bandits there. Anyway, so we left for Mexico, and but, you know, we still felt, we just knew that God had called us there. So we went to Guadalajara. We had met one missionary when he was pastoring that lived in Guadalajara. So we went there. And we met him, and we stayed with him for a couple of weeks, and we bought a house. Then we began to try to learn Spanish. Didn't know a word when we went. We could say sí and no, and that was about the total. And we went to an institute for a while, and it was all they really taught you there was how to ask for an aspirin after you had a hangover. Well, we weren't interested in that, so we quit that. So after 9 months, we felt like God would have us start taking in children. Dale was very impressed with children that didn't have a home, that many, many children in Mexico were living in the markets. So we started taking in children in our homes. And they literally taught us our Spanish. They knew no English, and we had to, you know, we had to tend to those. We had bills to fix and fights to settle and all kinds of things, and they literally taught us our Spanish. So we began to take in children. And so that's the way it went for the first several years. I had Mark after we'd been there 3 months, and he was a blessing. There were times that was difficult. I will kid you not. But I never doubted that that's where God wanted us.
Amen.
I never doubted that He'd call me to be missionary, not just Dale.
Yeah.
So I was His helpmeet, and that's what I was for. And if He got discouraged, I was to lift Him up. And if I got discouraged, He was to lift me up, and that's what we did. After being there 3 months, Dale came to me, and he said, "You know what, honey, we might as well go home." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I'll never learn this language. I'll just never learn it. I want some gifts." And I'm not a great spiritual person. You all know that, of course. But I said, "You know what? Our papers say 6 months. And why don't we chuck it out 3 more months? And if we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, I'll pack up and we'll go. But let's give it 3 more months to try." And he very hesitantly said, "Okay." We did, and by then we were beginning to learn a few words. And so God was good to us, and we stayed. And had to work with children for many years. Took in a lot of children that had very sad home lives. Not very many were true orphans. They were a few, but not many. But it was a blessing. Our desire, and Dale's really heart's desire, was to teach and to train and bring up missionaries, Mexican missionaries and preachers. That was his desire. But you know, you can't call a person to the ministry. God has to do that.
That's right.
And so after 13 years, actually after about 10 years, Dale realized that that's what he wanted to do. And as hard as we tried and we taught them, the boys were doing some preaching. They were doing a lot of teaching, but you know, God has to do the calling. And he realized that his time was not as well spent as he wanted it to be. So we began to pray that God would show us what to do. And he did. After 3 years, we closed the orphanage. And we came back to the States because we wanted a partner. We didn't want to work by ourselves. So we came home thinking we'd stay 1 year, and we stayed 8 years. My children didn't speak hardly any English, and so we struggled them through school. And that was a trip, wasn't it, Susan? That was something. Anyway, we went to Michigan first year. That's where Susan had to find Mike, and so Mike didn't know what he was in for. Probably still is amazed. I'll never forget the first night that they had a date. First of all, Dale wouldn't let her date, single date.
Amen.
And she had to take one of her little brothers or little sisters. Well, that really teed Michael. He said, "I had a brand new afford LTD. Those kids ruined it. Anyway, she came in the first date they had. I'll never forget. She comes storming in with Mike. And he said, "Dad, this is Mike, and he doesn't believe in eternal security." So that was funny. Anyway, that was a blessing. Anyway, we had many. I'll just tell you a few things. Struggles when we had their orphanage. Struggles like you mothers and dads have here. I had just a few things here. Many people have asked me, "What do you do when you have bad times? What did you do?" You know, because we were many years. For 2 years, we had no electricity, no running water, no bathrooms. Just everything was very primitive. Okay, because we built our own buildings out of adobe, a house. And so, what did you do when the bad times come? You know, and I said, "Well, I did what everybody does. You just pray, God, help me to get through this." Amen. And you know He will, one way or the other. Amen. Not always what we desire. Yeah. Not always the answer we want. But He is our Savior and He is our Lord and He is there at all times. Example. Paul, when he was 10 years old, was almost asphyxiated with a hot water heater that was brand new but wasn't vintage. And by the time we got to him, he was completely, his whole body was completely white. But God was gracious in that a missionary came the day before to serve there with us, and he brought a full oxygen tank. Wow. And he grabbed that, and he started giving it to Paul. And 20 minutes later, Paul began to breathe. That was tough. All I did was walk up and down and pray. But God was good, and he spared his life. And then Sandy fell headlong down the stairway 4 days before this incident of Paul. Fell down 30 steps on cement stairs and busted her whole mouth and knocked out her teeth and cut herself. But we get through those things because God is with us. Amen. And then Susan, when she was about 8 years old, I think, she and her little friend were washing the girls' clothes in the old wringer tap washer. Susan had never handled a wringer before. And when she was putting close to the wringer, she ran her arm through the wringer. Instead of pushing the release button, they just pushed it back and forth in her arm. Back and forth, back and forth. She had to go to the hospital for surgery. Still bears the scars, you know. But again, these are all things that all of you have gone through with your children. And God just helps you through them, doesn't he? And then Philip was probably the one that had the most things happen to him. Poor guy. When he was 2 months old, we didn't know he got car sick. We were headed back to Mexico. And when we got to Monterey, he had just vomited the whole way. We stopped, got medication, spent the night, started again towards Guadalajara. And he began again. And by the time we got to Guadalajara, he was completely, his veins had already collapsed. We went straight to the hospital. 5 days was between life and death before God pulled him through. And then he had seizures with fever for years, and that was a tough time. And of course, we lost our baby Danny. He only lived 1 week, and that was hard on me. I blame myself because what could I have done that I didn't do to save his life? Because we had him at home, and had him home for 2 days and had to go back to the hospital, and he died that night. Those were all tough things. And I would say, "God, is there something I did wrong? You know, why are these things all happening to me?" But God just kept saying, "I'm with you. I'm going to help you through it. You know, we're going to be victors over this." And I never doubted that He did not love me. I did not doubt that He was going to bring me through all these things. Okay? So I'm just like you folks. You know, you get through things like this all the time. Maybe not as severe sometimes, but you make it through because God is faithful, isn't He?
Amen.
I prayed for strength all the time. I remember one of the worst times I remember was when Dale had to come to the States for parts because at that time in Mexico you couldn't buy any kind of a halfway decent doorknob or anything. So he came to the States with two of our ladies, left me there with the men that were working, and about 40 kids. And I had three babies under three little ones under 4 years old that had chicken pox. And Philip with seizures. And I was expecting Dale home that very evening. And I got a lady came up from town who had a phone. And she came and said, "Nelda, I've got bad news. Dale hit a wild hog when he almost was to the radio. And it destroyed the radio, so he won't be coming." And I just sat right down in the dirt and bawled. I did. That was just, I thought, well, this is kind of the last straw, you know. But I didn't stay long, because my children all had to be fed. It was noontime. And I got myself up and dried my tears and went right on, and not any strength of my own at all. God was my strength.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Was my strength all through these things. Then later, after we closed the orphanage, we began to have a ministry with young people from the state, churches here in the States. Our church that we had started in San Luis had a church building by now, and they loaned us their building for our young people's groups. And that was a real blessing. It really was. We had, when Dale got sick, we had five groups coming every summer, and for 2 weeks at a time. And that was a load, except it was a blessing. Because, you know, so many of those kids have gone on and are serving the Lord today. And what a blessing. Last week when I was there, how many came up to me, and they now are married, some of them have kids, and told me what a blessing that time was. One particular girl who is a missionary wife now, she was 18 years old when she came the first time, and she now is a mother of six little children, spare specs, in Papua New Guinea, and she told me, and it thrilled my soul, she said, "I am on a mission field today, now, because of your testimony, what I saw in you," and that just thrilled me to death. And I had so little time to talk to the children, but when I was cooking, I had a team, and that's where I taught, in the kitchen. Kitchen, as you know, is always my favorite room in the house. It still is. And I would teach by example, I guess you'd say. And the kids all, well, I won't say all, some of the children and the grown-ups as well would tell us, "We just respect you because you and Dale are such a team. You're such a team. He knows he can count on you, and you know you can count on him." And, you know, that was such a blessing. And what a wonderful testimony it is if a husband and wife can be a team. And, you know, I encourage all of you missionaries, and I know that most of you are a real team with your spouse. And it's so important that the wife is praying for the husband when he goes out to preach. And the husband's praying for the wife when she's home and with the children, or when she has contact with some sisters somewhere, or contact with some that are not saved. We need to always be a team. I lost my team member, and it's been hard.
Yeah.
But the memories are wonderful, and I enjoy my memories. But what a blessing it has been to be able to say that we were a team. And, you know, missionaries, we're a team.
Yeah.
We are a team. We can pray for each other. We support each other. We stand with you in all that you do. And our pastors and the deacons are our defense coordinators, our offense coordinators. They keep us in line. You know what I'm saying? And respect them and let them do that. And honor them for what they do for us. And all of you are the spectators and the boosters. Mm-hmm. And you can pray. You can give. You encourage your missionaries to go on and do for the Lord. And, you know, one thing, the last day I was in Cyprus, I think it's always a special time because it's a time of a retreat for just the missionaries and a couple of mission pastors. And what you do is you kind of let down your hair and you talk about blessings that you've had, or you talk about problems that you have that you need encouragement with, or you need counsel. And I thought was a really high point, the last of it was the missions pastor asked all of us if we would just think about what we would like, how we would like for God to remember us or think of us when he found us in heaven. What would he want? What would he think of us? Let me see if I can put this a different way. How could he describe our life if we could know it? And I thought about that, and I thought about, I think it's in Revelation 2:10. And this is what I shared with some of my fellow missionaries, Revelation 2:10. Just the last part. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And I just trust that God will always find me faithful. I may not be able to go anymore, but I can be faithful. I can pray. I can support.
Amen.
I can encourage and always be in your place. I know as a pastor's wife how important it is for them, for the pastors to see that you're always there.
Mm-hmm.
They can count on you to be right there. And I just pray that God will find me faithful.
Amen. Amen. Amen.